Here's Hoyer, back to pass, looks, pumps, looks back to the left, still looking, looking, got a man open, end zone, touchdown, Gabriel with a flag down.
Illegal contact.
End zone Buccaneers. Taylor Gabriel, a touchdown, wide open, right corner of the end zone, 8:59 left, and the Browns lead by five.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tune into the all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns every Wednesday at 7 on Sports Time Ohio with a look into the lives of the Cleveland Browns players both on and off the field. That's tomorrow. Wednesday at 7 on Sports Time Ohio. And I am a part of that show, myself and Sarah Carnes. Matt Wilhelm has been involved within the past. Last week you were a macho Matt Wilhelm, the macho man. The macho man threw you a little bit of a
shout-out. Halloween is over.
Halloween is over, yes. The macho man is back in the big ring in the sky, ladies and gentlemen. Nathan Zgarden, Matt Wilhelm, we are with you right now. And I'll tell you what, time to go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Let's go to John in Sandusky on this Victory Monday. What's up, John?
Hey, not much, guys. Nice to listen to CBD. Hey, I got a question about Josh Gordon.
Yes.
Now, you guys were talking about that he comes back in the Atlanta game. Now, is that after Cincy or 2 weeks after Cincy?
So, Cincy, then home for
Houston,
then that Atlanta game. So, he's only missing two more games.
So, Monday after that Sunday game against home against the Houston Texans, he will be in the building and in uniform.
That's right.
Oh, so that will actually be his first practice with the team and everything. Then.
Correct. He can actively participate with the team, you know, not just essentially be in the building.
Right. Oh, okay. That was my question. Hey, thanks a lot for the information, guys, and love the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville now. Phil, welcome to the show.
Nathan, Matt, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. You know, I'm going to give a game ball to Jimmy Haslam because when he didn't think things were right, he cleaned house and made people accountable. I'm telling you that this next 8 games is not about Mike Pettine in my mind. It's about Ray Farmer because when the NFL set this hard $125 million salary cap and said there's only 53 players, you know, we've seen it for the last 7 to 8 years, the attrition, and it's the general managers that make or break. So I'm going to hope to give a game ball to Ray Farmer, but this is going to be his next 8 games, not Mike Pettine's in my mind.
An interesting point. I want to go back to what you first said about giving a game ball to Jimmy Haslam, and I think that that is very, very true. I think Jimmy Haslam saw something in an organizational structure that he didn't like. He did not feel that it was the right one for the Cleveland Browns and reached into his pocketbook as the reigning equipment manager of the year in the National Football League, Brad Mellon, strolls by. And he dipped into his pocketbook and wrote some big, big checks to say, I made a mistake, and I want to get the right people in here. And I'd say, culturally speaking, from top to bottom, I've never been around a healthier environment than I am right now with Pettine, with Alex Shiner, with Ray Farmer, Sashi Brown, you know, kind of in charge on that back of this of the office building here. And I think it is important. I think it says a lot, too. And I wonder, Matt, as a player, if you were a player for the Browns and you saw an owner write checks the size of which Jimmy Haslam did after 1 year to say, listen, I feel like I made a mistake. I want to do the best thing. What does that say to the locker room?
He wants to win football games, and it's something that you want to be a part of. You know, I don't think that
– Does it motivate you too? Does it say, like, listen, if he had no problem – he has no problem blowing me out of here either. I better be on my –
You're 100% correct, and it goes both ways. Not only do you have to be on your P's and Q's and continue to do your job, but if you do your job and you exceed expectations and you grow and you are a part of that new regime's future with the organization, it can also get you paid. You know, so you have an owner that you've seen, you know, spend money between, you know, management and $100 million renovation to the stadium and locking up Alex Mack and Joe Hayden. Again, still also too, kind of living on the edge in wanting to bring Johnny Manziel to the Cleveland Browns. You know, just goes to show, you know, he's kind of like that old cowboy. He's got his pistols out. He's ready for that gunfight. And he understands that's what it takes to compete and win year in, year out in the National Football League. And that's why it's got to be a great place to be right now. Cleveland now, as in the eyes of Dante Whitner, who came home, but a guy like Carlos Dansby, you come here to win and be a part of that culture. We may now inch our way towards being a market that free agents want to come and play in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great thing. And Ray Farmer, by the way, you know, what a job he's done finding this talent, mining it. Taylor Gabriel, who had that touchdown we heard about when we came back from break, broke off his route, saw that Hoyer had some time, and, you know, he's running a slant, felt the DB press up on him and said, hey, if I just run down the field, I should be open. That's what he did. He scores a touchdown. And here's a kid who was not even an undrafted free agent. He was brought to the rookie minicamp on a tryout basis. They liked him out of Abilene Christian, made an impression, did well, got to come back, got injured. And Taylor Gabriel told this story last night on Browns Overtime that you and I did together with Michael Regei. You know, he went up to Ray Farmer's office and said, please don't cut me. Give me a chance. Like, let me show you what I can do. I believe in myself. And I know from talking to Ray Farmer that that conversation, he loved that about Taylor Gabriel, that he would come in and say that. Have you heard of players like going in like that, especially a guy that young going into the GM and putting it on the line like that?
Definitely not a player that young. You'll find veterans do that because they, you know, they have started their family in those cities. They have kids and a house and, you know, they're very comfortable. Kids are in schools and they don't want to have to uproot, you know, their off the field, you know, family per se, and go somewhere else. So they'll beg for that opportunity, whether it's, you know, whether it's seen through and they have an opportunity to stay. Maybe they'll keep them through a training camp, which is a true evaluation period. But no, you don't. And that, to me, just goes to show what kind of confidence this kid has in himself. He was gambling on himself and putting himself out there in the man's eyes, the guy that determines your future in the NFL, at least when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, you didn't beg and plead, but you just said, hey, I know what I'm capable of. Bet on me, and I will prove you right in doing so. And he has lived up to that expectation.
It's awesome. He's such a great kid. He's such a great kid. Kevin Jones just wrote an article about it and referenced that story that Taylor shared on the show with us yesterday. Such a great kid. I'm so happy for his success. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey now. Our man, Chevy, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks. Picking a three-game balls in that game is like Hugh Hefner picking a girlfriend. It's impossible.
I like it.
Great analogy.
You're not even going to try?
I will try, but I'm going to go with the Rabbit and Miles Austin. I think those guys made some clutch catches. The Rabbit was fearless over the middle. He got plenty of hops. He can get up there and get that ball, and I'm going to see him do that against Cincy. The rest of the guys all stepped up. Thanks, guys. I don't have a lot today.
Your guy Chevy, always good when you can't pick three guys to win, you know, the game balls. It's a great victory for the Browns, even if it was, you know, not technically pretty. It wasn't a firing on all cylinders win. It was a win, and the Browns are now at 5-3. And the next thing they've got to do is break a 17-game road division losing streak. And they will have the opportunity to do that. 17 games on the road, almost 3 years of road games in the division. The Browns have lost. They've got to find a way to break that streak. They'll have their opportunity to do so against Cincinnati on Thursday night. It's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. And I think that also, too, is the lack of time for us to talk about it, for it to be, you know, asked to them in the locker room. That is a non-factor in these guys' minds, because I don't think you don't put that in the forefront of your mind. You know, today is going to be a lot of Tampa Bay. You'll get an inkling of Tampa Bay and a lot of Cincinnati tomorrow. You know, a travel day on Wednesday, which is going to be all about Cincinnati. And then you're playing a game. So those stats that get thrown out that, you know, we talked about for days on end, it seems, during the Steelers week with Big Ben being, you know, 18-1. It's, you hear it repetitive, and it's like in some cases when you're in that locker room, it's frustrating. You hear Dante talk about, you know, not only before the game, but after the game, to break that streak. And when he heard about that streak and his record against us, you know, it brought the fire and brimstone out in him, and he wanted to break that tendency, and they did here in Cleveland with a great win. And so that is something that they can eradicate, and I think it happens in a short week. You don't focus on those things. You simply focus on fixing what happened yesterday. And you jump, as you heard Brian Hoyer say in his post-game comments, dive right into the Bengals and learn as much as you can in a short period of time.
This is a game that's built on confidence and momentum. There's no question about it. How different is the Browns' mindset at 5-3 going into this game against Cincinnati, having won two in a row, compared to what it would have been had they slipped up and given this game away and been 4-4 coming off a disappointing home loss?
Sure, just looking at the record, you go, it's like at 4-4, the mentality is, you win some, you lose some. It's that 50-50 mentality. Where at 5-3, it's like, we're winning more than we're losing, you know, and that in itself, just looking at the record, is a culture change, you know, for the Cleveland Browns. That is something that they're extremely proud of. And for me, as we've said time and time again, you know, just in this hour and a half that we've been talking, you know, post game about the Tampa Bay, it's It's their ability to win the football games, to close people out, to make that play, you know. And the great thing about this roster, as I've said earlier, it's like we don't know who it's going to be. It could be a number of people. It could be a special teams play. It could be a throw by Brian Hoyer. It could be a great catch, a great run, a sack, a pick, a forced fumble, whatever it is. So that, to me, also as well with Coach Pettine, has coaching these guys, it sort of has that next man up mentality, the guy that steps up and play, or the next guy, I don't know who is going to be. You can't script it to be, you know, say who's going to make that play and who's not. It's like, it's to get everybody's ready, everybody's playing 100%. Everybody's putting themselves in a situation to make that play and put the spotlight on themselves.
It is. It's the next man up. That's what you got to do in the NFL, and the Browns are finding ways to win. They're getting big plays, whether it be defensively 2 weeks ago, special teams last week, and then capitalizing on them, turning them quickly into touchdowns, and that's why the Browns find themselves at 5-3. When we come back, we're going to continue rocking with your phone calls. Dale, Fred, Sean, Jay, we'll get to you. We also will hear some from the coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. That's all coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily with Segura Wilhelm right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.